Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again for another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, November 21st, 2021, and my guests today are Daniel Koenig, Eliza Skinner, and Noelle Wells. Hi.
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 Hello.
That was great. Let's meet each of you individually and alphabetically, starting with first-time guest on the show, I think. Definitely a comedian, also a brand new podcaster with the podcast How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. It's half of those names. It's Daniel Koenig. Hey, Danielle.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. How are you?
Is the podcast going all right? It's called How to Survive, and it sounds like you have thus far.
We are currently surviving. But we are always prepared to flee and stay calm. That's what you got to do in most dangerous situations. Yeah, the show is going great. The premise is we walk you through how to survive a natural or otherwise disaster, like being held up at gunpoint or surviving a fire. And we do it with humor because we really don't know any legit, we don't really know what we're talking about. We just Google it and spread the word.
Of course.
Then we have on an hilarious guest who tells us how they survived, something harrowing in the sense of embarrassing or painful without being actually life-threatening.
What did you talk about on the most recent episode?
Well, let's see. This last Tuesday, we recorded one with Oscar Nunez, who you know from The Office.
Yeah, he's great.
And that won't air for a while because we're actually a little bit ahead. But he talked about surviving, living, like moving to a new city with no money and how he did that. So that was good. And the new city was Los Angeles, so it's not easy.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a great story, I'm sure, and a terrific tease for your show that episode is in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a lot of great topics and guests. It's been really fun. Thank you.
I love it. I'm into it. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
We've got two dangling champs with us today. That's people who have won in previous episodes and have been invited back. The first of which is, I always want to say Ned to Earth. I do not know why. Ed to Nurse. Earth to Ned. Head writer. Eliza Skinner. Hi, Eliza.
Hi. It's good to be back.
Good to have you back. Did you, how did you celebrate Disney Plus Day?
You know, in the traditional way, we gathered around the Disney Plus tree. We sang the Disney Plus carols and we're happy to have another year of health insurance. Thanks to Father Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's really, they pushed really hard the other day. It was last Friday or something. It was really, you know, Disney Plus Day.
Yeah,
and they gave it away for $1.99.
Pretty.
You can get it for a month for $1.99.
Which clearly means that too many people are watching Disney Plus, you know? but if you did happen to grab it, go ahead and watch the show that I call Earth to Ned. Obviously, Doug calls it Nurth to Wed, or Birth to Bed.
I just can't get it. I can't get it right, even though, like, I have it written down in front of me, and I still
it says great things.
To say it differently.
It says great things about our naming ability that it's that memorable for you.
I think it's more on me. I mean, Ned is you know, I think you nailed it with just having the name Ned in there, and I'm in. I'm not going to forget that. Don't know, you know, who comes first, the Earth or the Ned.
That's fair. That's fair.
And it is kind of a give and take between the two, you know. So,
you know, just get, as long as you get some of the words in there, people are going to find things by searching on an app. Mm-hmm. They search a word, they find it. It's fine.
It's true. Yeah. If they just look up Ned, it's going to be this show and maybe also Mike White in School of Rock.
Yeah.
His name was Ned in that. Our second champ joining us today, defeater of Edgar Wright, no less.
Whoa.
It's Noelle Wealth.
Hello. I love hearing that. I was being introduced as that.
Can you believe you beat Edgar Wright at his own game?
Yeah, I would say it was a fluke, but I don't know.
I even had questions. I had things in there that only the director of Last Night in Soho would know how. And you still managed to prevail. So it was quite impressive.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for coming back. And I expect quite a competition today. But before we get into the games today, I would like I'd like to help the listeners find some quality films that they may not have seen. You know, could be classics, could be hidden gems, could be, you know, just weird cult movies, whatever. But I'd like each of you to please recommend one movie. And as I like to do with almost everything, I will go alphabetically. We'll start with Danielle.
Okay.
What's a movie that you'd like to recommend?
It's called Girth to Fred. No, this isn't necessarily a cult movie, but I hadn't heard of it until Parasite came out, and everyone told me to see Snowpiercer, and I just saw it with my son, and it is fantastic. I just think it's such a great movie. I really recommend it to anybody.
Probably right on the cusp, age appropriate wise, though. It's intense.
Yeah, it is intense. Yeah, like he's 14. He hasn't seen Parasite, which I think is probably gorier, bloodier than this movie. But yeah, he's seen a lot of intense stuff, so he's okay. But he doesn't like horror films, but he likes, you know, sort of thriller type things.
It's an intense movie.
It's really intense.
The setting does not stop moving, literally, because you're in a moving train the whole time.
I said to Oliver, he said to me, there wasn't any downtime. And I said, yeah, it just kept moving literally and figuratively.
Yeah, no stops.
Chugging along, that movie.
Stops are boring. Let's just go. Well, you might be happy to know, I don't know how well they're pulling it off, but it's continuing on as a TV series, the Snowpiercer. It's like, they're on like season 3 now, I think.
Are you kidding?
I'm not.
I had no idea.
David Diggs and Jennifer Connelly. Jennifer Connelly kind of plays the Tilda Swinton figure on the train. And
What is it on?
And it's just going and going. It's on TNT, I believe.
Have you watched it?
If I'm not mistaken. I saw the pilot. I saw the first episode and I, you know, should have kept going, but, you know, didn't for, there's just so much to watch. Yes, so many things. Yeah. But I did not, you know, I did not dislike it. I just, you know, I definitely wondered how do they keep this going? You know, like a TV series about a train that doesn't stop, is that just seems exhausting.
Yeah, but, exactly. Right.
But it looked like they had a lot of calm scenes because they have, you know, of course, every train has a quiet car. All right. So let's go to Eliza Skinner. Please recommend a movie.
Okay. I am not sure if I've recommended this before, but I'm going to go ahead and say Sing Street.
Oh, I bet you have, and I never tire of hearing it. I, of course, call it Street Sing, but, you know, whatever you call it.
I love your consistency. You know, that's
delightful movie.
It's my favorite movie musical. Most, I love musicals, but most musicals I would rather watch as a live experience, as a stage thing. I think that's the musical is really like meant to be on stage. You're meant to be in the same room with people. And usually when the transfer's over, it doesn't do as well. This was written for film, and it gets me every time. And I love the music in it and I love the characters. And if you haven't seen it, get into it. And I think it's great for my dog is not agreeing with me. I think it's great for like teens, preteens. It's a real like coming into your own, having an identity kind of movie and creative identity. So that's my pitch. Sure.
Yeah. I love it. That's a great one. The young actors in that movie are starting to pop up as, you know, slightly older actors in other things. And I'm always happy to see them because that movie's so good. Plus, it's going to be
Is it a TNT show also?
No, it's an off-Broadway musical. Like, they're going to do it as a stage musical. So, might even make it to Broadway. Yes. Well, that's another thing. I definitely am very critical of the movie to stage adaptation because, you know, sometimes it's just like, well, that didn't need a bunch of singing in it, you know, like, like when I watch Tootsie, I don't go, this is missing a lot of singing and dancing.
I think the secret to a movie being adapted into a musical is pick a bad movie that nobody cared about anyway. The original Little Shop of Horrors, the like B horror movie, perfect. They could do whatever they wanted with that. They can like heighten it and play around with it. But yeah, Tootsie is perfect as a movie. You don't need to do anything to that.
Yeah.
Do Tremors instead. Why aren't you making a musical out of Tremors? Why aren't you making Lady Hawk the musical?
Oh,
you
know? Lady Come on. Hawk.
I'm sure everything's in development. I'm sure that there is a movie title that people know that doesn't have a shot at being a Broadway show.
I had a friend who was trying to do a King of Kong musical at one point, and I was very excited about the idea of a documentary musical, but I don't know if it ever happened.
Yeah, there was a documentary about that contest where people put their hands on the car.
Hands on a hard body?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That became a musical. Ah. But I think that was more about that particular event, like and with fictional characters, and it wasn't like specifically based on the doc.
So there wasn't like a Snicker bar song in there?
I don't know. I never saw it, but I wanted to see it.
Oh my gosh.
It sounded interesting.
There's one of the guys in it like survives the whole thing by his secret is having Snickers bars. And he's just like, you know, when I start getting down, I have a Snickers bar. In the movie.
Oh, that's right.
So you did see the movie.
I mean, I didn't see the Broadway show, so I don't know if they included the Snickers bars or if they had to, like, you know, maybe get a tie-in with somebody else. You know, how, like, M&M's missed out on E.T. because they thought it sounded like, why would we want that disgusting monster eating our candy?
Yeah, maybe they added Reese's Cups to the Hands on a Hard Body musical.
I prefer them. Anyway, that's a great recommendation. Noelle Wells, what would you like to recommend?
Hello. I'm back. No, I'm just kidding. I would like to recommend this French New Wave film that I loved as a kid called Small Change by Francois Truffaut. Wow. I just remembered it this week because I found a book adaptation of the film, which, you know, it's always funny when a movie gets made and then they translate the book, or they like transcribe it into a book, but Francois Truffaut did it. So it was very charming, and I'm also now recommending this book, but it gives you like
homework.
It gives you an inside idea of like what the movie was about, but it's several stories about children and childhood, and they all sort of intersect, and it's just a really delightful film.
Yeah, because it's a bunch of French kids running around speaking in French, right?
Yeah, they're French.
It's adorable.
Very adorable.
There's
very
something sweet about that. Any European accent on a little kid, I can't get over it. It's amazing.
Sophisticated but funny. They can get away with a lot. Like they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just already have just a naturally spicy, exciting, you know, it's an accent. So it's like already foreign, you know, at least to us. But that movie, I remember, I haven't seen it in forever, but I remember liking it when I was younger because, you know, if you're into movies, you really get like beat over the head with how, you know, Truffaut is so important. And I have to say, of all the, you know, kind of film school filmmakers, he's the one that, you know, I tend to enjoy his stuff more than some of the other ones that get a lot of play, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we got 3 S titles. That's the first thing I see in common here. Snowpiercer, Sixth Street, and Small Change. That's a interesting group of movies. I recommend you bang them all out in the same day if you can, because that's an emotional roller coaster. Yeah, right there.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for visiting Recommendation Nation. It's time to play some games. After the break, of course, we'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are back, and we're going to play a new game that I came up with the other day because I, you know, started a internet argument that I thought was interesting. There's some people out there that love The Green Mile. There's some people out there that love Shawshank Redemption. And there's a lot of people out there that love both of them because they love really long prison movies. It's not my genre of choice, but I decided to come up with a game called The Green Mile Redemption to see if people know the difference between Green Mile and Shawshank Redemption.
I'm already so confused.
I haven't seen either since they came out.
Right, but you did see them, right? They're big movies.
Yes, I saw them.
It was, people are almost like forced to see them, like almost like they were sentenced to to watch these movies. And in the case of Shawshank, I hardly ever meet a man who doesn't think it's one of the best movies ever made.
I was about to say, a fun game is to tell men that you love Shawshank and that movie about like inventing toys in like the 30s or 40s, right? With Tim Robbins. It's so great.
Right.
Yeah. Or just any kind of just not right thing about Shawshank. Or say that you saw it and you were like, eh, they really can't handle that.
Now, but now I can't think of the actual name of that Tim Robbins movie. Well, oh, Hudsucker Proxy.
Oh, I love that movie.
I saw the Hudsucker Proxy.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, it's this is not an easy game. That's why it's the first game. It doesn't really matter. I'll say something about one of these movies or neither of these movies. So each answer you give will either be Shawshank Redemption, Green Mile, or neither. We'll start with Danielle. If she misses the first question, it goes to Eliza, and then if she misses, it goes to Noelle, who should be able to figure out by process of elimination if it gets that far. So you could, some people could get points just by lucking out and being absurd. Here's the first one, Danielle.
Okay.
Which one, Shawshank Redemption, Green Mile, or neither, has a character in it named Toot Toot?
I'm gonna say Shawshank.
You're going Shawshank Redemption? Feels yeah. like it's got a toot toot in it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say that is incorrect. There's no toot toot that I'm aware of in Shawshank Redemption. So we go to Eliza. Is that a character in Green Mile, or is that something I made up, something that's in neither?
I'll say Green Mile. I don't remember much about it.
Oh my God, the prophecy I just explained has come true.
You're welcome, Noelle.
Can remember the two answers that have happened thus far, she gets the point. Unless she really doubles down on our answers and challenges you on it.
You know, I'm sure in some prison somewhere there's a toot toot, but I would say neither.
Oh my God. I screwed up. Let's go backwards.
Wait, what?
Eliza was right. Eliza Aha! got it right. I was so excited.
Really?
I was like, I don't know what confused me, but but it
maybe
is
maybe just the fact that there's a character named Tutu in a real
there
man.
Is a character named Tutu yeah. in the Green Mile. I mostly
all of us love, were skeptical.
I love that everyone listening that loves these movies is enraged right now.
Fumes
that I was wrong for a moment there about it, and because people Tutu's probably a beloved character. He's played by Harry Dean Stanton.
He's not the mouse.
Oh.
I know, right? The mouse should be Toot Toot, but I guess Harry Dean Stanton was Toot Toot. All right. So that means, apologies to Noelle, but you got to go first in this next round.
All right, I'm ready.
Because Eliza got the point. All right, here we go. And Noelle misses it, then Danielle gets a shot, et cetera. Okay. Here it is. Which movie or neither used the tagline, "Your dreams can't be imprisoned"?
Oh, that's Shawshank Redemption.
I love your confidence.
Oh no.
Incorrect. At least for now, I might change my mind. All right, let's go to Danielle. What do you think, Danielle?
I'm going
to
say neither.
You know what? You figured that out. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little too cutesy.
I mean, you should see the real ones. They're pretty pretty much combination of those words.
Oh, really?
Yeah, pretty similar.
No bars could hold his faith.
Yeah, exactly.
Bars, faith, or
they
yeah.
they are rough. They're, so they get some rough taglines sometimes. But you sniffed out that lie, so you get a point, and we're back to Eliza for round three. This is for the win, Eliza, if you could figure this one out.
Okay.
One received two Oscars. The winner of two Oscars. Is it Shawshank, Green Mile, or neither?
Shawshank.
I'm sorry, but that is incorrect.
But It really would have worked out on a date with someone I didn't like. That would have been a great response, that answer.
Right? Because they'll tell you about how it deserves Oscars. It deserves all the Oscars. Every category, even makeup, even animation, which wasn't even a category yet.
A little known thing is for one day shooting, they all decided to play switch 'em up and play each other's characters, and the makeup department made that work. That's what you see in the film.
In Shawshank.
Well, they definitely got snubbed then.
Yeah.
Noelle, what do you think? You can make this a three-way tie if you get this right.
Well, I think Green Mile won 2 Oscars, maybe more, but I'm wrong.
I mean, I think I'd say well, I don't know. Maybe not. You're right. You might have figured something out there that might have been more, but you're going with Green Mile?
Yeah. I should have won all the Oscars as well.
Yeah.
Toot toot.
Danielle. Now, hang on, Noelle. You never know for sure if you're right or wrong. So you give me some time to think about it. But let's move on to Danielle. Do you, which one is left?
I'm going to venture and say neither.
Yeah, neither is not only correct, but. With 7 nominations, Shawshank went home empty-handed.
Ugh.
And Green Mile got 4 nominations and 0 wins.
Oh, those poor incels.
Yeah.
Can't win one.
Mm-mm. No, that's why they hate the Oscars. The Oscars don't reward prison movies enough.
No, they don't reward comedies, and they don't reward prison movies. I've always said that.
Yeah, don't get them started about Escape from Alcatraz.
Yeah, Oscars so... free and not imprisoned. Famous hashtag.
Oscar's so civilian. What's the word for being not a prisoner?
Yeah.
I mean, how many Oscars should The Rock have won? I'm going to say all of them. I'm going to say they won none.
I was on a plane the other day, and the person next to me was watching Jungle Cruise, and the person in front of them was watching Jumanji, and I just kind of high-fived The Rock in my head. I was like, look at you go, man. Look at you go.
He really is killing it.
I like the movie The Rock because it's a prison movie.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm just always ready to talk about The Rock, the man, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
Is this like the Mandela effect? And like everybody remembers The Rock in these movies. Like he was for sure in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. Well, again, the makeup department, they make it magic. You don't even know. You have to. That's why you have to stay and watch the credits. Because,
you know, in his more subtle acting roles where he doesn't raise the eyebrow, you don't recognize him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do his signature. He doesn't do the signature eyebrow raise all the time. But I was glad to see he managed to get it into Moana. So the animators knew to do that. They also made his boobs bounce, probably. He loves to do that. Him and Terry Crews, they get their boobs out, they just start a bouncing. Like they can't stop them.
Right.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's like, we get it. Make something else bounce, you know?
Right? So like, many things.
What else can
so
you do?
So many things could bounce. It's crazy. So Danielle won that game, but I was going to say, just for the fun of it, that, you know, because I'm never going to play this game again, that the tiebreaker, I was wondering if anybody knew this one, the tiebreaker was based on a Stephen King novella.
Yeah, that's Green Mile.
Green Mile.
See, that's
it's Shawshank. Shawshank is... the novella, and Green Mile was a serialized, I don't know why I did this, but it was like serialized releases.
Oh, yeah. Is that why?
I win the Dork Award for the game, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But if you put all those serialized things together, they would have been a novella, but he didn't release it that way?
I mean, maybe. I don't know what they, I don't how, think it what they all novella. Add up to.
To be a novella, I think it has to be shorter than a novel. So once he's telling the same story over 4 different installments, then I think it becomes something else.
Interesting.
Yeah. I know that they just say based on a novel when it comes to like Green Mile being, you know, because I think Frank Darabont was nominated for the screenplay for both those. That's the one weird thing about it is the movies are even though they're both in prison, they're both period dramas. One has like mystical stuff in it, the other one doesn't. But they're both, strangely to me, directed by Frank Darabont, which is another reason to get them both confused, is that they're even made by the same guy.
I feel like a Stephen King movie not directed by Frank Darabont in a certain range of years is the more remarkable thing. He did so many.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. One of the big holes in my, you know, especially it's the only Stephen King adaptation I probably haven't seen. I never saw The Mist.
I was about to say that's the best one. Oh my gosh, Doug, what a treat.
You have, I know, a real everybody raves about it, and especially there's a lot of focus on how it ends, and I still to this day don't know how it ends, and wow, the secret's still there, so I just got to see it. I just got to get it done.
Yeah, you're standing in a really precarious place. I'm glad you still don't know what the ending is, but see yeah, it before something happens. And
I'm going to watch it before this episode gets released later tonight, because somebody's going to jump on my socials and ruin it immediately.
Oh yeah, it hits all the Stephen King heights. It's, you got the weird lady, the weird religious stuff, the monsters. You're gonna have fun. Sorry, didn't mean to take a tangent.
No, that's cool. One thing that kind of always weighs down Stephen King adaptations, I feel, is that he gives people such improbable, weird names that are hard to say and weird for actors to say. Not as bad as some other. No, that was a good. Carrie White was the most simple name. You picked the perfect one.
I know, right? Danny Torrance.
yeah, Danny Torrance isn't too crazy, but he's got some weird ones, especially when any character that's like, you know, up to something has a really weird name, you know.
Are you thinking of Cute Little Baby Firestarter? Because that was a weird name.
Right? Why would they call a baby Firestarter? Like, at least wait for it to start some fires.
Yeah, it kind of gave the whole thing. But I mean, that was also the title without the cute little baby part. But yeah.
When Heather Locklear's oven mitts catch on fire in the first, you know, incident where they realize their daughter is a
cute little baby Firestarter.
A Firestarter. I was like trying to think of a word for Firestarter.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. It is Drew Barrymore. Yeah. It's not good. Yeah. It's not good.
It's during her partying era.
Yeah, she was 9.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I met her outside of the Roxy, I think it was, like at a Sam Kinison show when she was like, you know, a teenager. It was brutal.
That's perfect. That's a perfect Hollywood story.
Yeah. All the elements are there.
I mean, I just, like, Nikki Sixx needs to have high-fived you, and that's about it.
I was probably also wearing like a long coat like Sam Kinison wore. It was a sad time, but I got through it. I survived. And it's time for another break, actually. And then we're going to play our last and more important game of the day that'll determine our winner. And we'll do that right after this. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and that's so funny you said that during the break, Eliza. Let's play a game that I'm super excited about. It's called Filmily Feud. It's like Family Feud, but I cleverly changed the word family to filmily, and I polled people about film, sort of film-related questions, and the three of you have to guess what the top answers are in each question. We got three rounds, so everyone's going to get a chance to go first, and all you got to do is I'll name the options. You know, this is a kind of a twist on Family Feud in that I'll tell you what all the choices are, and then you just guess which one got the highest percentage. We'll start with Danielle because she won that first game, and then we'll go to Eliza and then to Noelle.
Can I ask something before we start?
Please.
Who are these people you surveyed? Were they like civilians or were they like industry folk?
Well, it's much like
are they inmates or
were you in Hollywood Highland with a clipboard?
When you watch Family Feud, you often ask yourself that question, who were those people?
Yes.
Because some of the answers get so odd sometimes. And they're, you know, two people will have said some weird answer. But it's just I just do it on Twitter. I just use the poll function on Twitter and then write down the percentages after I get over 100 votes. So we'll start with Danielle. And the question I wrote is just two words, best babysitter, ?
Okay.
And the options are Steve Buscemi, Crispin Glover, Jackie Earle Haley, or Boo Radley. So we have one fictional character.
Right.
And three live actors who have played characters you would never leave with your
yes.
children.
Speaking of, oh no, that's Con Air, not The Rock.
What's Con Air been in?
So it was Steve Buscemi, Jackie Earle Haley, Boo Radley,
Crispin Glover, or Boo Radley.
I'm just going to go with my gut, and my gut, now I feel like people are going to say, my gut says Steve Buscemi.
Okay, that's fair. Eliza, what do you think?
John Turturro. No, I'm kidding. Boo Radley.
I mean, I'm sure he probably would have got some as a write-in vote. But I block it so that people can't respond. Like, I only get the pure data.
Yeah.
I don't get people adding, but what about this guy that's also terrible?
Well, yeah. Kevin Bacon played him a list.
Exactly. I didn't put Kevin Bacon in because he's risen above it. He's played a child molester more than once, and nobody minds.
He has more than once.
Yeah. There's the Woodsman and
the guy in Footloose, and
yes,
and actually three times the guy in Tremors also. Yeah. I just don't show it, but it's implied, I think.
Yeah. No, those worms are mad for a reason.
Yeah, it's vengeance.
Okay, so which one did you pick, Eliza?
Boo Radley.
Okay. And that, Noelle, that leaves for you either Jackie Earle Haley or Crispin Glover.
I would never leave my child with Crispin Glover.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay. The results may shock you. You all dodged the Jackie Earle Haley bullet, as it were, because he only got 8% of the vote. Coming in next was Crispin Glover with 11%. So, Noel, you're on the board with 11 points. Eliza's Boo Radley got 17% of the vote. And that leaves a whopping, and he seems like a perfectly nice guy, whopping. Maybe that's why they picked him. Maybe he truly would be of those four. Seems like the best babysitter. He was a firefighter for a while. Okay. Steve Buscemi got 64%.
Wow.
Wait, I got confused, though. So the question was, who would you leave your child with?
No, the question was, best babysitter.
Oh, totally Steve Buscemi. That'd be awesome.
Boo Radley was a nice guy, right? He and Scout hung out.
I mean, it'd be the best for you deciding to meet him. But in terms of best, like, would he truly do a better job than these other guys? I don't know. Like, Boo Radley would certainly not put a lot of dumb ideas in their head because he never says anything. Mm-hmm. You know, so he'd be good.
Yeah.
Speaking of Broadway, I might see the To Kill a Mockingbird with Jeff Daniels.
Oh, is that back? That's the Aaron Sorkin one?
Yeah, he came back to it. It's the highest grossing play, you know, without music on Broadway ever in history of Broadway.
Wow.
And Aaron Sorkin Jeff Daniels
directed
he wrote it. He adapted it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds ponderous.
He wrote
this
stage version. Yeah, he wrote the stage version, and he makes the audience wander up and down hallways to watch the actors talk. Danielle's in the lead, but, you know, it's still anybody's game. I've done the math, and it still could work out in anybody's favor.
No way. She's slaughtering us. First timer murdering two
I'm so nervous.
Two champs going down today. All right, Eliza, this is your chance to go first and steal those big points. The next thing I asked was best gardener. That's the whole question. Best gardener. And I gave him the options. Chance the Gardener, the Constant Gardener, James Garner, or Garfield the Cat.
Oh, dang. I was really hoping there would be a Rick Moranis in there. I'm going to go with Garfield just because, you know, that's sort of my tactic. Like, you fill in the C on any kind of standardized test, I pick Garfield if he's there.
Okay. All right. Noelle, what do you think? Chance the Gardener from Being There, played by the great Peter Sellers. Constant Gardener, which was Ralph Fiennes, I guess, right?
Right.
He was constantly gardening. I mean, if gardening's your personality, you got a problem.
Yeah, that does make it sound like you're good at it. Yeah. Unless you're doing it all the time because you can't get it right.
Mm. Yeah. Or James Garner, the late, great James Garner.
Well, you know, yeah, just like a constant gardener, you're going to over-till the soil. You got to leave the garden alone. And, you know, Chance the Gardener got him he got pretty far just knowing like one or two things about gardening. So I'd pick Chance.
You're going to take a chance on Chance?
I'm totally taking a chance.
Take a chance. That song, that ABBA song, I was listening to it the other day, and they really, in the backup, just go, take a chance. They must say it a million times. Like, that must be the most exhausting backup vocal work ever. Who's up next?
Me, Danielle. I'm going to go for Garner.
James Garner. All right. That's an excellent choice.
Chauncey Gardner, or is that the joke? Like, his name is Chauncey Gardner, but they think his name is Chance the Gardner. Is that it?
Yes.
I just make all that up? No.
No, his name is Chauncey Gardner, and then they think he's Chance the Gardner when shows up and doesn't know what's going on.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then everything he says, everybody thinks is brilliant. It's a banger. something nobody's ever said about that movie.
He likes to watch.
Oh, the Being There, what a banger. Okay. Because also that's also one of the funny things about his career is that because he was playing comedic roles for the most part, he was like brilliant all the time, but, you know, didn't really win Oscars. And then, you know, finally gets recognized for Being There, where, again, an amazing performance, but he barely even moves or speaks.
You know? I mean, you could say it's his Scent of a Woman.
Hoo-ha. All right. Yeah. Here are the results. You avoided the worst one again. The Constant Gardener received a mere 14% of the vote. But then coming in next was Chance the Gardener with 21%. So Noel gets 21 more points for a total of 32. And above that was James Gardner with 23% of the vote. Giving Danielle a total of 87, and Garfield the Cat got 42%.
Nice,
my man.
Best gardener. I've never seen that cat garden at all, but
what can he do though? You know, you gotta assume.
He chews grass and spits it out, and that's like his version of.
Not unless you have lasagna grass. I mean, am I right?
That's a good point, and it's not a Monday.
I thought
Garfield though overall was on kind of a downswing. I didn't know he was still, you know, more popular than all these other gardeners.
he's never gonna lose, you know.
Yeah.
He's in all of
Chris
us.
Pratt's bringing him back, so.
I don't even I know. So this next Garfield's gonna be everybody's animated, or is it gonna be the same thing again where just Garfield's animated?
No idea.
I think maybe it might be all animated this next time. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what Brecken Meyer's up to, but he might be available. All right. So I think it's a close game. Noelle might not agree, but I think
no. This is how it was the last game with me. I pulled up at the very end, so.
Uh oh.
Okay. All right.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Fighting words.
The last.
You know, there's no negative points, so everybody wins. Let's start now with Noelle gets to go first this round. You're in the catbird seat. My third question I put out to the nice folks was best car washer. Best car washer. And the options I gave them were Edward Scissorhands, Eraserhead, the Goonies, or Al Pacino.
What? Oh my God. Oh my God.
What was the last one?
Al Pacino. So, so best of all those groups and people who one of them I identify as they, but who out of all of these, who's the best car washer?
Who was the second one again?
Eraserhead. David Lynch's Eraserhead.
You know, I'm just going to walk you through my thought process.
Okay. I love it.
My gut says Eraserhead. just in his name alone, he seems like he could get things clean, even though I'm not sure, like, skill set wise. Goonies, you know, a bunch of kids washing your car could be great and efficient, could make it worse. And Al Pacino washing your car, I mean, that would just be amazing. And I just went to the premiere of House of Gucci, and he still has it. He's got it. He was dancing. He'd put on a show, I think, but I would have to go. I think I'm going to go with Eraserhead.
Sort of a magic Eraserhead?
Magic Eraserhead, yes.
We'll take the paint right off your car, though.
I'm just stuck on the Al Pacino dancing part. Like, was it delightful or cringy or a combo?
Was it a TikTok dance or more freestyle?
It was more just like, it almost felt like he didn't know where he was, but was really just enjoying life.
Oh, no.
No, in the best way possible, kind of like he's on a different plane and where he's at, he's having a good time.
Where am I? like confused and happy about it.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, good for Al. Al Pacino is your
I just wanted sorry, I hadn't really gotten to, you know, put in my two cents throughout this show, so I just wanted to spice up my answer.
I do love it. Anytime there's a show business story behind an answer, I love it. But it's not, you know, it's not required. Okay, so Danielle, you get to choose between who's the best car washer, Edward Scissorhands, the Goonies, or Al Pacino.
All right. My thought process is that I don't think your followers necessarily by the truckload know Eraserhead. It might just be a little too old for them. I know it's like, you know, a cult classic and all. So I'm going to say Al Pacino.
Good, because Noelle already took Eraserhead.
Right. I was just...
That worked out perfectly.
I thought you guys should know my thought process.
Yeah, everybody has to explain.
Sorry.
Here's why I wouldn't pick that one that I can't be picking.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
But that was... I threw in Edward Scissorhands because I honestly thought... You know, and I'm not trying to give away the results here, but I just thought, you know, this is a beloved character. Same with the Goonies. Like, I just feel like sometimes things are so beloved that people throw aside their logic and they just pick the thing they love the most. And so now I'm realizing that's probably why Garfield won, and also probably true of Steve Buscemi as well. He's very lovable.
Yeah.
But we've only got two options for Eliza. Mm-hmm. And they are Edward Scissorhands or the Goonies.
Well, I am going to pick. I feel like with Edward Scissorhands, you know, obviously there's the he has scissors for hands issue,
right?
And so obviously we're all thinking like they would rust up. That wouldn't be good. How clean can he get a car when his hands are all rusty? And the Goonies, fun Hollywood insider fact, there's a scene that's been cut from the Goonies where they all wash a car together. And when they did it, Spielberg would not show them the car until actually shooting that scene so that they would get like that surprised about the car. And like, you could see the real like emotion from them. So it seems to me that they have some experience with washing cars. So I'm picking them.
All right. That was an exciting answer from an exciting player.
Tried to give you that Hollywood insider, you know?
I love it. I'm tallying up the numbers. Wow. This is exciting. So close. Edward Scissorhands, you all figured that one out, 14%. Strangely, quite strangely, even less for Eraserhead.
No.
At 13%.
Oh, no.
I don't know why. I mean, the name recognition issue probably is the deal there. But I also feel like if you want something clean, that someone is eraser is in their name, or their head is an eraser, seems like that would be a good way to go. Those Mr. Clean eraser sponge things are great. All right. So I'm sorry, Noelle, but thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll do your plugs in a second. Coming in next was our everybody's friend, the dancing fool, Al Pacino, with 32% of the vote. That brings Danielle to a total of 119 points, if my math is correct. And then The Goonies was number one as best car washer. I would think Chunk would like, you know, his sponge would be like white bread with some Nutella on it. But they went 41% in on The Goonies washing their car.
Nice.
Maybe they just want to see the truffle shuffle in person. But that guy's a thin adult now.
Imagine all of Data's like gadgets for car washing. Come on.
I mean, there's lots of reasons to argue in favor, especially when the competition was an old man, a guy with scissors for hands, and whatever the hell Eraserhead's supposed to be. But Eliza only managed to get up to an impressive, but still not enough, 100 points. So Danielle is our winner today.
Wow.
Congratulations to Danielle Koenig. You get to return on the show as soon as we can possibly work it out, scheduling wise. And you also get to go first with your plugs today. What would you like to plug?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. This was a blast. It was my first time and it was great. It was great to meet you ladies. And I just would like to plug my podcast, How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. It's like I said, the focus is comedy, but you may also learn a thing or two, but, available wherever you can get podcasts.
And it's safe for me to assume that you can't be in New York next Sunday.
I cannot be in New York this Sunday. No.
Yeah. I didn't think you'd be able to make it. You've got to show your child more horrible movies that are age inappropriate. But we will have you back on Zoom or otherwise, one way or another, sometime very soon as an ongoing champion. You did it.
Thank you.
But we have to also let these other players have their say. It's not all about you, Danielle.
I know.
Eliza Skinner, what would you like to plug?
My album, Regarding My Lovers. It's what a great Christmas gift, you know? If you like me or comedy, that's a great gift for you. If you don't like women or female comedians, what a great gag gift, right? Give it to your uncle. He'll love hating it. Yeah, it's called Regarding My Lovers on A Special Thing Records.
Yeah, go ahead and pick up Hannah Gadsby while you're at it, and just a bunch of lady comics and put them in a nice bow, and it's a perfect Christmas or holiday, I should say, because I don't know about you, but I'm waging a war on Christmas, so I call it Holiday Day.
So vicious.
Now I have to change the name of my 12 Guests of Christmas show now that I've made this bold move to calling it Holiday Day. Who's next?
Guests of the War on Christmas.
Right? Noelle Wells.
Hi. I don't have anything new to plug. So maybe you can watch the show, the animated show that just finished its second season, Star Trek Lower Decks. It's on Paramount Plus. And I have an album. It's called It's So Nice, but it came out a couple years ago. But you can still buy it and I'll ship it to you. I hand package it. I put stickers in it. It's always very fun. I have like 10 in my... I have 10 that I'm dropping off the post office tomorrow. So make me do more work, please.
Yeah, get on it. This will, you know, this will come out later this evening. So people should be hearing this in time to make it into your next batch.
Yeah.
Get into her next order. You'll have it in, what do you think, by Thanksgiving?
No, you'll have it right after Thanksgiving.
So you'll have it by right after Thanksgiving.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, it'll arrive on Black Friday, I'm sure, because all the packages, they all arrive on that day, right?
Yes.
That's how that works. I don't get involved. Thank you to all of you. I've got one big plug. Sunday. That's right. The 12 Guests of Christmas, after a break from last year, is back at the Gramercy Theater in New York City. Please bring some Christmassy or holiday day style donuts, or any kind of donuts, because we haven't thrown some donuts into the crowd for a while, and that was always fun to do. It'd be fun to bring that back. That's this Sunday at 8 o'clock. 12 amazing guests on stage. But thank you again to all of my guests. And as always, I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it has been in my dreams. I hope.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart